everyone, and welcome back to Shattered Silence Stories of Recovery and Resilience. My name is Jory, and today we are kicking off our season three. We've got a new room here, and today we're here with Cameron.
Hi, thank you, Cameron, for having me.
Thank you for being here. So Cameron is daughter of James Kolstad, who is known for being one of the Bakersfield Three. But today is not about his story. It's about Cameron and just the struggles that you've gone through in your life. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much. I was born and raised in Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. I'm almost 25. I'm a mom. And I have had quite the grieving journey, not just over my dad, but pretty much my whole life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like I just can relate to so many things with your story. I mean, we have completely different stories, but there is so much that I can relate to because I've gone through my fair share of grief as well since I was little to like, I've had family members pass away and just all the roller coaster of things that life has kind of brought us, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like let's just start from the beginning. Like you grew up in Bakersfield. How was your life growing up?
I had the best childhood ever. My mom passed away. I was like, start from the beginning because it gets a little bit confusing. My mom, Amber, passed away when I was 16 months old in a car accident. And her and my dad both were 21 at the time. So they were like fairly young. She was young when she passed away.
Yeah.
And my grandma, mom, who I refer to as mom. So if I start talking about anything after 16 months old, I'm in referring to my mom. That's my grandma. She raised me.
What's her name?
Janet.
Janet.
Okay. Yeah.
Mom Janet.
Mom Amber. Yes. And so Mom Janet, yeah, she raised me, and literally I had the best childhood. She gave me everything I could have ever wanted and needed, and she was the best mom ever.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, I have so many questions even just here because, you know, my son Brooks losing his dad at 9 months old, you know, I've just always like thought like how we navigate this as he gets older and what questions he's going to ask and whatnot. And I'm sure that your mom, Janet, always talked about her daughter, you know, always brought her up and kept her memory alive for you. Mm-hmm. But do you remember like as like a young kid, like, do you remember like being curious and like kind of confused?
I wasn't confused until first grade.
Okay.
I didn't remember, like, I don't have any, like, memories of my mom, but I always knew her. So it was, like, this very strange thing. Like, I've never not known her. Right. She could walk into the room right now and I would know her just, like, exactly who she is.
Yeah.
And my mom, Janet, did such a great job at always keeping her alive in that sense, and I wouldn't want that any other way.
Yeah.
But around first grade is when I did notice that, like, oh, my family dynamic is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did. I was starting to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
But not understanding that, obviously, in first grade, that I was grieving.
Yeah.
I remember my teacher giving me a journal because I was just having a hard time, like not acting out, but just like sad.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like all these, like my mom was my grandma. So she was kind of done in the sense of she didn't want to really do the class thing and stuff like that. And I don't blame her. I never really asked her to, but she maybe wasn't like involved like to the max. And so the moms in the classroom, I would just notice like, oh, this is a little bit, like, different. And, I started to notice, okay, my mom's not here. And then I would get, my whole life I've had people surprisingly say, like, which I don't think it's in, like, a bad way, but say, well, at least she passed away when, you know, you were young.
Yeah, and that's never, it's, like, an easy thing to hear either.
No.
Like, no, not, like, at least, like, she should still be here.
You know? I didn't get the pain of hearing that she had passed away.
Right.
But I did in the sense of, I mean, my family has told me that, like, I cried for her. Like, yeah. I wanted her.
Yeah.
And I don't remember that, but that never leaves you.
Yeah.
Like, mentally and, like, physically, I feel like.
Right.
And I've had to grieve her my whole life.
Yeah.
I've had a lot longer to grieve her.
Yeah.
So it hasn't, I don't want to say it's been harder or easier, but it definitely hasn't just been like, oh, I don't know her.
Yeah.
So it's not right. anything. And I don't think my mom, Janet, understood that, not because of any other reason other than how do you navigate that?
Right.
Like, she was taking care of me.
Right. And I feel like it's kind of like, I mean, you being able to voice that now and, like, remembering, but, like, people, I feel like your average person isn't going to, like, know, like, how to navigate that or yeah. just even understand that you might still be grieving even though you weren't 5 years old when she passed away. That doesn't matter. And it, you don't realize, like, even me, mm-hmm. like, I didn't realize that you could grow up and then now at first grade, now you are starting to grieve
yeah.
when it's happened, like, years before, you know? It's just a thought that I feel like not a lot of people would think of.
No.
You know?
And I remember my mom, Janet, saying, like, she would try to show me pictures
mm-hmm.
and I would act not very interested.
Mm-hmm.
And that was never, and I remember being really young and it was never a place of, like, I'm not interested. It just was that I knew it hurt her
mm-hmm.
and I wanted her to have her moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I just never really, I never felt like it was my place to, like, I just didn't want to hurt her
yeah.
by showing my hurt.
Yeah.
But I remember going to my room and crying and yeah. looking at pictures
yeah.
and crying over her.
Yeah. And it's crazy to, like, think of that, you know, that
yeah.
you're here being, like, the tough one for your grandma, your mom, Amber.
Yeah. She always said, like, I saved yeah. her too. She was like, you saved me. Like, I didn't think I was going to be able, that was her first baby she had when she was 17. She was like, I just didn't think I was going to, like, be able to do this
yeah.
without you. And you gave me, like, the, mm-hmm. the will to keep going
yeah.
and do it in a, like, happy way,
yeah.
like, be happy, find
yeah.
happiness. So I felt very important my
yeah.
whole life. She made me feel so important
yeah.
in every sense, but especially that one.
Yeah.
There's just been moments, like, I have, when I had my son, my first dance, like, all, like, the firsts, I've always mm-hmm. thought of her.
Yeah. You're going to be constantly grieving her
mm-hmm.
because it is, like you said, the moments that you think of that you didn't get to spend with her,
yeah.
that you wanted her there.
Yeah.
And for us that grieve, it's like, you might not always, like, voice that you're thinking mm-hmm. about them because you don't want to make other people sad
yeah.
or feel bad about you or change, like, you know, hey, change the mood, you know, everyone's
right.
happy. But, like, I've done that several times, you
yeah.
know, I'm, like, sitting there hanging out, everyone's having a great old time. And I'm, like, thinking in the back of my head, like, oh, Kyle would have been doing this, you
right.
know, like, I wish he could have been here, you know?
Yep.
So it is a constant battle because you're still grieving the things that they don't get to do with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I remember the first time I had actually sat down and was old enough to sit down and watch, like, a home video. And it was my first birthday. Then there was another one that was my first bath that she gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's,
yeah.
that's her.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I could so feel her love. And I think that it's like, it was so beautiful to, like, watch even just through the TV
yeah.
that, like, oh my gosh, you loved me so much.
Mm-hmm.
You, like, that, that's my mom.
Yeah.
And I felt that love with my mom, Janet, of
mm-hmm.
course, but it was like this connection, like, yeah, it's just, like, indescribable.
Yeah.
It's that mom, like, feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I now have over my baby.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
yeah.
I totally
and that's,
understand it.
Yeah. And, like, when you're talking about, like, you know, your mom, Janet, like, I feel for her too, because I just know, like, having to navigate all of this with having a 9-month-old son, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like there was times where I was like, I just don't know how I'm going to get through it, you know? And if I didn't have my son, I'm like, gosh, where would I be right now, right. you know? Because like you said with her, she's like, I don't know how I could have gotten through this, like, without you. Like, mm-hmm. you saved me. And I 100% feel that with my son, you know? Yeah. I was a mess, you know? And then yeah. it's like, okay, well, hey, I got to wipe the tears because now he's looking at me like, why is my mom sad? You yeah. know? It's like, okay, hang on, let's wipe these tears, you yeah. know, we're good, you know? But it's like, yeah, I 100% feel the same way with him, you know?
Yeah.
So just like relating like things to, you know, my son, I'm like, the other day we're driving and sometimes he'll just say random things like, where's my daddy? Where's my mommy? And he's just messing around because it's a show. He watches Miss Rachel and she says that on there. And so, but lately he keeps saying, where's my daddy? And I'm like, do I answer him? Like, what do I say? You know, it's like, how do you say that? I'm like, remember, like, Dada's in heaven. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, Dada's in heaven. And, you know, it's like, so maybe me talking about it to him is gonna, he'll just know growing up.
Yeah.
But, like, that brings me to you. Like, you know, like, how, like, was there ever a moment in time where it was just like, hey, what happened to my mom?
Yeah, no, I always knew. I think that they had all been so open about her and just everything that there was never, I can never look back on a moment where I had asked, where is she or
yeah.
anything. I knew.
She was just talked about.
I do remember my mom, Janet, saying when I was younger that I would do the same thing that Brooks is doing. And I actually mm-hmm. would be in the car, surprisingly. Yeah. I would look out the window and she said that I would ask. And then there was other times where I'd look out the window and say, I see my mommy. And, like, stuff mm-hmm. like that, like, looking at the sky. I think that it was just my normal.
Mm-hmm.
Not yeah. having her was so normal, and they yeah. never hid any part of her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I feel like I had a moment like that with Brooks, too, just playing in the backyard, and he looks up, he's like, there's Dada. And I'm like, wait, what? Do you remember that? Like, he just, like, looked up and was like, there's Dada. I'm like, I just feel like, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like there's mm-hmm. always like signs and stuff. Yeah. And like, I really believe in that stuff. Like, okay, there was a little sign from Kyle. He was saying hi to Brooks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, do you ever feel signs?
Yeah, it's actually really crazy because when I say that, like, when I looked at like the home videos and I felt that feeling of like, oh, that is my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I've had multiple instances in my life where whether I accidentally ran a red light or I didn't run a red, I didn't go when my light turned green and a car came and I would yeah. crash. There's been just moments or just being a stupid teenager or whatever, where yeah. I've had moments where I've had this like overwhelming, like sense of exactly what I felt
mm-hmm.
when watching those videos.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a question yeah. of like, that's my mom. It's like if your mom were to come up and stand right behind you
mm-hmm.
and put her hand on you, you would know that's your mom.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah.
Because I've had both. Like,
yeah.
Like it's, there's no question that I've never questioned if it was her.
Yeah. Yeah. You just feel like that presence and you have this like guardian angel with yeah. you. Like, I don't know. I've always felt like that too with my friend passed when she was 10. And so like with her, like, cause she passed when I was so young. So like, yeah, right. growing up, I remember certain like little things, like you said, being a dumb teenager, I'm mm-hmm. like, whoa, like, wait, I feel like I literally felt like there was a reason, like, I don't know, like a voice in your head or something. Like, mm-hmm. there's a reason why I didn't go through this stoplight right away. And like you saying that reminded me, cause I did have like one of those moments in high school where I'm like, oh, I'm just going to cruise through this. The light turned green a while ago. And then all of a sudden I look over and there's a car coming so fast and I stop and I'm just yeah. like, but you do get that, like that weird feeling. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, okay.
It's just like and it's like overwhelming and it's usually like good.
Yeah.
It just feels like pure and
yeah.
good.
Yeah. There's really no other way to explain it.
There's no way to describe it.
Yeah.
But it's like there. And
yeah.
it's just because it's indescribable doesn't mean that it's not real.
Right. I know. For real. Seriously.
So a little bit more about my mom, Janet. Mm-hmm. She had three biological children. My mom, Amber.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle Holden and my Aunt Ashley. And she was a foster mom for so many years. She ended up adopting my Aunt Joy and my Uncle Randy. And she was just a mom to literally everybody. She was amazing. But she had three biological children. Mm-hmm. And my Uncle Holden was the youngest. Mm-hmm. And he, I think, experienced a lot of grief and just trauma after my mom Amber had passed away. I think just like kind of putting himself in that position of like, I need to like be strong mm-hmm. for my mom and my sister and my dad mm-hmm. and the other kids, because there's just always so many kids. I obviously was so young, so it's hard for me to really like speak on, but when he ended up breaking every bone in his foot and got put on medication. And just, I think that just really kind of was the beginning of the end for him. He ended up passing away, not from an overdose, but just his heart basically like couldn't handle,
just the medication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he ended up passing away on Christmas Eve 2010, and he was 22.
Oh my gosh.
So I was in fifth grade, and he had just had a baby that was a month old. Yeah. Oh, my cousin Stefan. And I just remember seeing my mom, and
we have tissues.
You might need one of those.
It's okay. I cry a lot on here.
She couldn't even get any words out.
Yeah,
it was horrible. And that was the first time I had experienced, like, the news. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, like, can they just take him to the hospital? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't realize he had already gone.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it could happen. Even though it had already happened, I didn't think that it could happen again.
No matter what, you just feel like it just can't happen to you.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way, right? And, like, that moment, I know that's probably exactly what brought you to tears, too, is when you hear the news, mm-hmm. and that never leaves you.
No.
It's something that's, like, etched in your head forever.
Yeah. Like, it was so little. Like, I was 10. And
yeah,
you just don't forget it even.
Yeah.
Being that young.
Yeah.
And that was super hard for me because I was really close with my uncle. We were all really close. Mm-hmm. And it was so hard to see my aunt.
Yeah.
Having lost like both of her siblings.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. She's like, I still have her. She is just everything to me.
And it's honestly so nice to have someone that also like shares all the struggles and just knows what it's like going through the grief.
She really like stepped up. She was, I think, 15 or 16 when my mom Amber passed away, and she really just became like another like parent to me. And when Holden passed away, she was just like, she just never has left my side. She's always stayed by mm-hmm. my side. And we've all just remained, like, everything I feel like made us closer and closer and closer. I know how grief can sometimes, like, cause a lot of divide. Mm-hmm.
We have a message from our sponsors, Aspire Counseling Services. We just want to remind everyone that seeking treatment should never be stigmatized. Aspire specializes in providing support and treatment for both teens and adults with mental health and substance use disorders, recognizing that these conditions often do coexist. They are an amazing resource, and you can get started by texting or calling the number 888-585-7373 to enroll at any time.
Of course, my mom, Janet, was the glue. She made sure we all stayed really close.
Yeah.
So that was the first, like,
Memory that you have of like, your grief.
Yeah.
Yeah. My gosh. That's so hard. And your poor family, too. Like you said, your aunt, like, losing her siblings, and your mom losing her kids.
Yeah. Ugh.
Gosh, I'm so sorry. No, I'm like, okay. I seriously just feel for you, because it just feels like that seems like the first time and you're like, it's never going to happen. And then it's like more things keep happening,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I feel like I know that like pain of like, okay, God, like what else? Like what else are you going to put me through?
Well, and then so I went through junior high and high school, and now this is kind of, I guess, where my dad comes in. Mm-hmm. I'll go back a little bit. Like, growing up, we were really close. He was great. And I mm-hmm. thought he was the coolest thing ever. I love him so much.
You just adored your dad.
He could do no wrong in my eyes. Yeah. Seriously, like, amazing. And again, like, I realized very soon that my family dynamic wasn't maybe like the norm, mm-hmm. but it was my normal.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
like it just.
It's what you knew.
Yeah. yeah. And I didn't live with him, but I spent a lot of time with him. Mm-hmm. My mom, Janet, raised me. I spent so much time mm-hmm. with my dad still. And we were just always very close. Well, then I think when I was around like third grade, I could have that wrong, maybe second or third grade, he ended up moving to San Diego, and I would spend like summers there mm-hmm. and a lot of time there in general. Mm-hmm. He ended up having my sister, Autumn. So I'm so lucky. I'm so happy he gave me her.
Yeah.
Him and Jill, her mom. And yeah, it was, again, not maybe not normal, but my normal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then they ended up, my dad, they ended up splitting up, and my dad moved back to Bakersfield mm-hmm. when I was in junior high, and things were like better than ever because mm-hmm. he was home for a moment, and then very quickly our relationship. I think it was a mix of him being on drugs, mm-hmm. getting addicted to drugs, mm-hmm. And me being in high school.
Yeah.
And just going through that, like, teenage high school. Like,
right. Yeah.
Time.
So, like, do you know if your dad had previously had an addiction?
I don't think my dad had an addiction until he got hit by a car one day in San Diego and got prescribed medication, mm-hmm. like painkillers. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's when it mm-hmm. started. Mm-hmm. That's not to say I don't think he may have dabbled in it before, but no, I don't think he had an addiction until.
Right, until you are prescribed pills and this is literally handed to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I will bring this up over and over again because I can't remember if I read this somewhere, but someone fact checked me on it before, but it's like after like 3 days or something, 2 or 3 days of taking like prescribed medication, like painkillers, mm-hmm. It changes like the chemistry, like in your brain, and you're already like, your brain's already starting to like form this addiction. And to think that so many of these medications are prescribed to people, most of the time for over like, you know, over a week, you know, or like, here, take this as needed. And it can start so easily. And I'm telling you, the amount of stories I have heard of people being addicted to pain pills because they had an injury,
right?
You know, and it's just like, that's so many people think that there's no way it can happen to me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, I got hurt and I need this right now.
Right.
You know? And like, yeah, that's that you do need it, you know, but a lot of people just don't realize that they're starting this addiction too. It's like, oh, well, I'm kind of hurting a little bit, you know, and then there's not much pain and there's still, well, I can take another one, you know? And I'm like, it's just, that's how it starts and it's sad. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's why we talk about it though, you know?
No, absolutely. I have heard so many horrible things about my dad from like people because of how much attention it's gotten, just awful things about like him, basically in a sense just trash, because he did drugs.
Yeah.
My dad would have never, like, chose that.
Yeah.
I think that we give this, like, like doing drugs, like, it's their choice. It's their choice.
Yeah.
It's their choice. To a sense.
Yeah.
It is.
Right.
However, it is a disease.
Mm-hmm.
It is not something that is just free will choice. My dad would have never chose that lifestyle.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be in pain. He didn't want to rely on something. He was all about being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He did every sport you can think of.
Yeah.
He cared so much about his appearance, how kind he was to other people, mm-hmm. and his looks, both of those.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would have never gone down that path by just free will choice.
Yeah.
It would have never happened.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't make him, and in doing so, it didn't make him trashy.
Yeah, or it didn't make him any less of a person. No. And that's, I mean, you bringing that up is one of the biggest struggles I had even coming and doing this podcast. You know, I'm like, I do want to talk about it and I do think it's important. I do want to help people, even if it's not just with addiction or just helping people with grief and like just handling any mental health, you know, mm-hmm. but I don't want people to have this bad image of Kyle. I don't want them to think that he is this trash person because
this protection mode
and you're like, he was such a freaking great person. Like, this addiction did not define him.
Mm-mm.
It had a hold of him. It did. He had his good moments, and it ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, just going through his own personal struggles in life, it came back to get him, you know, and he struggled with it, but doesn't define who he was. Like, that's not the person that, like, I fell in love with, you know? Like, he was such a great person, and he would not want to do this to me. He would not have wanted to do this to our son.
No.
Like, he loved Brooks, you know? So it's like, it's really hard to come out and speak about an overdose, I feel like, because you just are really worried about what people are going to say.
Yeah.
And it's not fair. It's really not.
No. And my dad had totally shifted into a completely different person. And I mean, there was times where I felt like he said things to me that like were unforgivable, but I also was, I think I was young. I was in high school. I was mm-hmm. trying to do this like tough love
mm-hmm.
thing with him. And we had this whole thing, well, phone works both ways. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're the dad.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You call me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just really became distant.
Mm-hmm.
And a large part of it was love. He didn't want me to see him like that.
Yeah.
It was not
right.
He hated me thing, how it felt in the moment.
Oh, yeah.
He likes drugs more than he likes me.
Yeah.
It was never any of that. But that is how it felt.
For sure.
In the moment.
Yeah.
I remember when I found out he died, I really thought that it was an overdose.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed like, I knew it was going in that direction. I had mm-hmm. this like overwhelming feeling that he wasn't going to make it to my high school graduation. And I don't know what it was. I had like said it so many times, I don't think my dad's going to make it to my high school graduation. I didn't know if I meant that in a sense of he wasn't going to be alive, or he just wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
But I kept thinking about my high school graduation, he wasn't going to make it to it.
Yeah.
It's so
weird how things like that will, like,
I don't happen. Know. You don't think about it in the moment, but you think about it afterwards. Right. And you're like, what was that?
Yeah. Did I just have, this feeling? Yeah. What? Was it your mom mentally preparing you?
I know.
That's one of those signs. I don't know.
Him and my mom, Janet, were very, very close. They have always kept the best relationship
mm-hmm.
for me. I never heard, I don't even think they really had any problems ever at any point.
Yeah.
Everything
that's
was
awesome, though.
So, she never talked down about my dad. My dad never talked down about her.
Mm-hmm.
They were amazing on how they loved each other and got along.
Yeah.
My dad had talked to my mom, Janet, a lot. before he had passed away and kind of opened up to her about his struggles that he was having with the with drugs. And I had also known about it too, because one day I went to his apartment. I didn't tell him I was coming. Mm-hmm. And I saw a plate with like drugs on it. Mm-hmm. And I immediately walked back to the door so that when he came out of the room, he would think that I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, I just wanted to, like, protect that in him, because I knew that, like, he would have been so ashamed mm-hmm. for me to see that. And we never mentioned it, but that's, like, when I knew it was really bad.
Yeah.
And it was around that same time he started talking to my mom a little bit more, and I knew, like, I knew yeah. that it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And she had told him, and of course I didn't know this until afterwards, but she had told him that she'll never forgive him because I can't lose another parent.
Yeah.
So he needs to stop, and that she'll help him do whatever, mm-hmm. like whatever he needs. He died on my senior prom night.
Oh my God.
It sounds weird to even say it. It's not funny. I just yeah. laugh because it's like, what the heck?
Yeah. Dark humor. You know what? I laugh at the craziest things sometimes. Like, you're like, what else do I do? Yeah. I laugh. Like, are you kidding me? Yeah.
I had, felt really off. I actually didn't go to my senior prom, but I had went to the after
party.
Prom parties. Gosh, yeah. Say that five times fast. Yeah. And I remember it being around 1, and I didn't feel like drinking that night. I did drink occasionally. I was in high school. I wasn't old enough to, obviously. But
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
But I didn't drink that night, and I didn't feel very good. I felt just very, like, not my normal. Usually I could stay out late and hang out with friends and, you know, as a teenager.
Yeah.
I could not that night. I had this overwhelming sense that something really bad was about to happen. And I told all my friends, and I was like, I have to go home. And it was around 1. Not like it was early, but I did feel like something bad was happening. I think my dad was murdered around 1:15. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So I had gotten home, and I just went to bed. And my grandma, Diane, my dad's mom, mm-hmm. had called my mom, Janet, and told her. I think around, I actually had a friend staying with me that night, and she had came in when she had stayed a little bit later at that party. She had came into my house when my mom, Janet, was finding out the news. And she said that she had just, my friend had thought that she woke my mom up. So she just went to my room and went to bed. I usually, my bed in high school was set up in a way that, I slept completely against the wall, and that's where I slept, was against the wall. Mm-hmm. That night, I felt so uncomfortable, and I had so much anxiety that for some reason, I didn't feel comfortable on that side of the bed. I slept on the other side, closest mm-hmm. to where I could have access to get right off my bed.
Right.
And my friend slept right next to me in my usual spot. Mm-hmm. Which, thankfully, my mom was going to wake me up in the morning, and she would have had to crawl, like, she would have had to go over my friend to get to me. Mm-hmm. So it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's just, like, just a weird thing.
Right.
And she had tapped me, and I knew something was wrong because it was a Sunday.
Yeah, she doesn't wake you up.
She doesn't wake me up bright and early on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. It was around, like, I think 7. And she had tapped me, and I just remember, like, opening my eyes, and she was, like, kind of, like, crouched down, and she was like, I need to talk to you. And I immediately sat up, and I just remember, like, knowing.
Yeah.
Like, right away.
Yeah.
And I sat up. And I just looked at her, and I just said no. And she was like, I really need you to come. I really need you to come into the living room. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm scared.
It's like you just like...
I just knew.
Yeah.
And I even knew who it was. I knew it was him. And I just said... my dad. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah. And I was like... I just remember, like, I literally, like, fell off my bed. And just was hysterical. And she could not get me to, like... She kept trying to lift me up. And I could not keep my body up.
Yeah.
Like, for the life of me, I could not stay standing. Mm-hmm. And then I remember her saying, I just, after like a while, I don't even know how much time had passed, and her saying, I just can't believe somebody could do that. And I was like,
they were confused.
What?
Yeah.
Do you mean? And she said he was murdered. And then it was like.
Like, wait, what?
I was, like, ready. I'm, like, this is a whole different ballpark of, I mean, just the anger.
Yeah.
I have never felt, I've never been an angry person. And I had just felt so much anger. And after that, I remember going, it had taken a while to get the funeral arrangements all set up. Mm-hmm. And... Well, I guess I'll rewind a little bit. My mom had said that when she went to bed that night, she had a dream. And it was her and my dad sitting in a room after she found out that he had passed away. So the second time she went to bed after she had found out in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And she had said that he had said, I'm sorry. And she was just like, how could you do this? Like, I told you. I don't want to do this. Like, this is going to kill her. And that he said, don't worry, I'll tell her. And so it was weird that, like, she never had to say the words.
Yeah.
She never, I just, like I said, I woke up and I knew, and she never had to say the words. Yeah. And she said that it took so much off of her because she did not want to say, she didn't want to say it.
Yeah.
She didn't want to watch my heart break.
Yeah, who wants to say that, you know? And like we said, that, like, moment when you find out, mm-hmm. you know, or, like, I had to tell people, you know, and, like, that's, yeah, you don't want to break news to people like that. You don't want to talk about that.
And you know it's going to be their last good moment.
Yeah.
And you have to steal that away.
Yeah, exactly.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's so terrible. And... the fact that you just, like, had this feeling is crazy, too. It's, like, goes back to, again, just having, I don't know, just feeling that presence or something. Mm-hmm. Like, you have, like, I don't know if it's, like, intuition or what, but I feel like I've had several, like, weird moments like that, too. But it's, like, you have this, like, weird, like, spiritual connection somehow, you know? And it's, like, you just, like...
And
he
his
did tell
life,
you know?
Yeah. And his life was just in the headed in just this track of, like, I knew if it was somebody in the way that she was looking at me, I had already had feelings. Mm-hmm. I knew. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just knew.
And then afterwards, we decided to have a viewing so we could say bye. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the trauma from how he died, but he looked nothing.
It didn't look good.
It didn't look...
Yeah.
It looked horrible. He literally... I had to have somebody show me his fingers because I knew what his fingernails looked like. Mm-hmm. And I wanted somebody to show me his tattoos because I just didn't believe
like,
this isn't even him.
Yeah.
You know, and in a sense, it's not anymore.
Yeah.
But I still, like... It made me 10 times more angrier that somebody did this.
Yeah.
And I was looking at him like this.
Yeah. And, like, going back to, like, this, like, I don't know. I remember we did a viewing for Kyle, too. So I guess going back to this, like, dark humor, like, I remember looking at him, too. And he really didn't look bad. He looked pretty good. But one thing I remember is that... He was starting to bald a little bit, so they slicked his hair back, And they could, you could see where he was faulting a little yeah. bit. And I was laughing so hard because I'm like, Kyle would be pissed.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe you guys did me like this. Don't all my do friends this. Are coming to see me and my hair looks like this. And I'm like, you know, who else would laugh about that? Like, yeah, I'm looking at Kyle and he's in his casket and I'm laughing at him. And yeah. I'm like, it's so messed up.
It's so messed up. I do it. It's honestly how I cope.
Yeah.
Find a light in yeah. something. Like, I mean, if you take it all too serious, then even though it is serious,
yeah,
but you take it all too serious, then I'll crumble.
Yeah, that's seriously. How I feel. Like, and we have to get through this life somehow. Yeah. You know, like there's always going to be those. I mean, we're always going to go back and think of our loved ones that we don't get to have anymore.
Yeah.
But at least we can laugh about something.
You know? Oh, I do it all the time. Make ourselves laugh about something. If we're around other people, we'll literally stop everyone in their tracks because we'll make some horrible joke yeah. about, well, they're all dead.
Yeah. So
like, doesn't well, really matter.
If anyone else heard, they'd be like, okay.
That's horrible.
I'm going to walk away because I don't know what to say to
yeah. that. Or just know? Completely like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird what comes to our minds and how we... It's weird, but it's honestly beautiful in the sense because yeah. it helps us get through a moment.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, this is sad, but instead of me crying about it, we'll laugh about it, make yeah. a joke about it, yeah. you know?
In a dark, twisted yeah. way, but it's okay right. because it is, it's getting me to the next moment.
Right.
And it's hard to get to the next moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It just is. It's hard, literally. I feel like after my dad, I was so scared. Like, mm-hmm. I had felt every single emotion in a matter of a minute.
Like yeah.
acceptance, bargaining,
yeah,
denial,
yeah,
all of it,
yeah.
And it's so like there is no like handbook on how your grieving process yeah. is going to be. I would feel them all the emotions in different ways in a matter of a minute, and mm-hmm. I was so confused yeah. because most of all, I was having the most extreme amount of anxiety and panic right. attacks. Did not know what I was doing
yeah
like in the slightest
yeah
I had moved off to Santa Barbara to start college right after he died because he died at the end of my senior year mm-hmm. and I moved home after a year. I couldn't take it yeah. I wanted to be with my mom and mm-hmm. I just felt so anxiety ridden.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even eat a Starbucks sandwich without thinking that like somebody put drugs in it.
Yeah.
It just made my mind do weird
yeah.
things. It yeah. was the drugs. It was thinking somebody was going to murder me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I knew it wasn't anything like that. I don't yeah. think that's why he died, but
yeah.
thinking I was going to die next.
Yeah.
It all just, I will never forget my aunt telling me. Because I told her, I was like, I'm scared. I'm so scared that something bad's going to happen to me. And she's like, well, Cameron, you are healthy and you're not doing things that aren't good for yeah. you. You know, like your mom made a poor decision of drinking and driving. And unfortunately, you know, things with Holden, you're not going to get far, you know. And my dad, obviously, he didn't choose to get murdered,
right?
But he was hanging around a crowd that wasn't good for him. And right. she's like, try to relax yourself, you know, mm-hmm. like just try to get through this right. and try to be happy and try to find peace, because mm-hmm. right now you're just focusing on death right. and you will get past this. Yeah. It will be okay.
Yeah.
And that really did change things for me. I feel like I started to become a little bit more confident and stronger in my grieving process
mm-hmm.
and move home and be with my family mm-hmm. helped too.
Right.
And then that kind of leads me to the next one.
Well, before we move on to the next one, with your dad, like, I know that this whole thing with Bakersfield 3 came out. So how did that look like for you? Because at first you don't hear about Bakersfield 3, you know?
Right.
But, like, when did that even become a thing?
It became a thing, I believe, October of that same year.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we did a candlelight vigil in October of that year.
Uh-huh.
and it barely had any like news coverage or anything like that at that point. But those moms, my grandma included, man, they didn't like stop. It has been literally the most inspiring thing to watch those moms band together and love each other and support one another. Mm-hmm. There's always positives that come out of things that you, or just that positives that you should see in like just the most horrible things. Right. Mm-hmm. And that has been the most inspiring thing that I've ever watched.
Yeah.
They really just did the thing.
Yeah. And it really just shows like, seriously, like what you say, like a true like mother's love. You know what I mean? They're just like putting all their efforts into figuring out what happened.
Yeah. And then watching them trickle outside of that. Like, it's one thing to watch them fight for their own children, mm-hmm. but then to watch them fight so hard to be a voice for other families mm-hmm. was like, it just blew me away.
Yeah.
I was so proud of all of them.
Yeah.
And especially my Grammy for like coming out of her shell and really like just doing that. It was amazing to watch. But it was different for me because I was hearing a lot about my dad on TV, and like then the Dr. Phil thing came out, and
I didn't even know there was a Dr. Phil thing.
There was a Dr. Phil episode, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And that was like bizarre. There's two actually. On the first one, and I don't want to say anything like bad, but it just wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
My anxiety was finally like at a manageable place. And then after that, it just plummeted again.
Yeah.
And it was pretty, just not very good.
Yeah.
Seeing it national like that really was, and Twisted. Mm-hmm. To me, I felt like it was. I was there.
Yeah.
Things were not the same watching it on TV. And I understand that they have to edit and they have to do the things. But it was hard. It was hard for me. It was really hard for my Uncle Ryan, who was there when my dad was killed. Mm-hmm. And he has struggled a lot from that.
Yeah.
From things people have said to him.
I'm sure. It's like one thing for you to grieve on your own, but then to be constantly hearing over and over again these stories of like your dad, and when you're trying to have a good day and you're like, okay, wait, now this is on TV or whatever, you know, like that's gotta
everybody has their own weird opinions, and it's like, he was mine.
Yeah.
he was my dad. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I cut you off last time because I wanted to just get a little bit more about, your dad and how that was with all the news coverage and stuff. But I guess going on to the next.
Mm-hmm. With my dad, I had focused a lot of my own, you know, time and energy, all of it into the Bakersfield 3 as well. Like I did a lot for that as well. Mm-hmm. And I had no problem with it. I almost feel like it did help. It helped me maybe, like, not pay attention as to how, like, much I was hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me something to do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then COVID hit, and it was...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
just a weird time.
Yeah. A lot of, like, the community things came to a halt.
Mm-hmm.
COVID was a really, really dark time for me, it was a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I was, so this is like now when I'm 20,
mm-hmm.
I'd moved out of my mom and papa's
mm-hmm.
and was in an apartment, and I remember, I always have been so close with my mom, Janet, like mm-hmm. very, very close, mm-hmm. literally best friends.
Yeah.
Best friends. I would choose to hang out with her over anybody any day. Yeah, she was my best friend my whole mm-hmm. life. I wouldn't see her every single day like how I was, my mm-hmm. mom. And I remember talking to her on the phone. I remember one day specifically, and I was like, it's 9 a.m. Are you drunk?
Like, yeah.
What's happening? Why do you sound like that? And she was like, obviously, I'm not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what's going on. I can't talk that well. I'm slurring. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
And she's like, I feel like it's gradually gotten worse. My mom, to me, is untouchable. Like, you could have never told me she was ever going to die.
Yeah.
That would never, like, cross my mind.
Right.
I honestly felt like maybe I'd go before her. I didn't think I was ever going to lose her.
Yeah.
And I often remember thinking, too, which is, like, so horrible, but, like, okay, I lost everyone. Like, there's no one else that can go that's really going to, you know, I lost the hardest ones.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and my dad, like, I lost the hardest ones.
Yeah.
It's obviously before I had my son.
Mm-hmm.
And that's before I, like I said, I didn't even think my mom was touchable.
Yeah.
And she had went to the doctors so many times and for so long. And they kind of, the doctors just kept, like, giving her this, like, well, maybe it was a mini stroke.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe your throat's just, like, very tight. And it was probably, I want to say, like, 9 months of no answers. They finally were like, okay, this is now January of 2021. And they were like, we need you to come to LA. We think we found a diagnosis. And I'm just, like, you know, sending, you know, her on her way. I wish you luck, Mom. Like, we'll get it figured out, whatever it is. She wasn't, like, sick.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't feel bad. She just couldn't talk. And she was also, like, kind of choking on her food. And when she left, I, again, had this, like, bad feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had came home and asked all of us to come over. And she said that she was diagnosed with progressive bulbar palsy, which is a form of ALS.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's no treatments or anything, and she just has 2 to 5 years to live.
Gosh, dang.
I wished so bad in that moment that she had, like, stage 4 cancer.
Yeah.
Because maybe.
At least that, there that's would be something, like, that we can try to do. Yeah,
there might be something.
Yeah.
I couldn't even. Obviously, she's still, you know, sitting right in front of me. So I'm thinking, like, okay, bet. Like, I'm going to I'm gonna keep you alive.
Yeah,
2 to 5 years, you watch.
Yeah.
God, I looked on every single website you can imagine. We did acupuncture. We did it all.
Mm-hmm. Like, we'll find anything.
Yeah.
You know? We'll
the thing anything. About ALS is it's so misunderstood. It's not even understood. Yeah. I don't even think doctors really fully understand it.
Yeah.
But I slowly watched her lose every single part of herself. She stopped being able to talk, eat. Then she got COVID. And when she came back from the hospital, she was in the hospital for 3 months. When she came back, she couldn't walk anymore and then couldn't use her arms.
Ugh.
She used to type on a speech device, and then when she lost her mobility in her arms, she used a eye gaze machine, so she would, like, stare at a letter and she could type with her eyes, and it was amazing.
Oh,
it was really
gosh.
Cool. But I had told her that I needed a moment to be selfish. Like, I know that you just found out that you're dying, but I need to let you know that I'm not okay with it.
Yeah.
And that I don't think I'm gonna survive it. And that you're not gonna get to watch me be a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And just be here with me. Like, I couldn't even, like.
So at that point, you had just found out you were pregnant?
No.
Well, you hadn't found out you were pregnant yet.
Mm-hmm. No, I found out the very next day.
Oh, my gosh. Girl, stop.
Yeah.
And, like, here we go again. Like, let's just laugh about it, right?
Yeah.
Because are you kidding me? Like, what else do you do in that moment?
Oh, my gosh, I was 20 years old and so scared. I had just found out my mom was dying the day before. And, You know, I may have found out before that if I wasn't so invested in her doctor's appointments all week, I was a week late and having, like, the symptoms. But I was freshly pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
I was. I was, like, very...
Like, the very beginning.
Yes. And I just remember I was at her house all morning and talking to her and just, you know, like, what are we going to do? And then I was like, I don't feel good. Like, I just want to go home and take a nap. Obviously, like, I just found out my mom's dying.
Yeah.
And I remember going home, laying in bed and just being like, I think I should take a test because I really don't feel good. And I have one in the bathroom.
Yeah.
If I didn't have one in the bathroom, I would have never probably taken one.
Right.
And so I took it, and I took it with so much confidence.
You're like,
I've never taken a pregnancy test with so much confidence in my life. I just, like, wanted to, like, get it out of, you know.
Yeah, so you didn't had one less thing to worry about.
I didn't even sit there and, like, I didn't even sit there and wait for it. I took it to bed with me because I was like, this is negative.
Yeah.
And I got in bed, and I immediately look at it and go to put it down, and I'm like, oh, this looks different. Than it should.
Yeah. Oh, this is not what I was expecting.
There's two lines there for sure. And, I was so scared. I just remember being like, this isn't what I want.
Yeah.
I immediately was so negative. I felt like, oh, I messed up. Barely beat teen pregnancy. Here I am.
Oh my gosh.
But that's what it felt like. I hate that I felt like that, but I was like...
You weren't in the right headspace.
No,
like, and you cannot blame yourself for that, you know? You can't blame
immediately,
yourself.
Like, felt, like, so, like, just ashamed of myself. Like, I can't believe that I, like, got pregnant.
Yeah.
And...
We can laugh about it now. Yeah. Fine.
And then I had called my aunt, and I had said, Auntie, like, I'm pregnant. And she said... Congratulations. And I was like, wait, like, it's okay? Like, yeah. It's okay.
You're like, no one's gonna yell at me right now. You know?
She's like, you're an adult. You can have a kid if you want.
Yeah.
And she said, oh my gosh, you better make sure you're so confident in what you're doing before you tell mom.
Yeah.
And when I told her, she was like, yeah, that's your purpose right there. Like, God's going to give you something back. And I, like, finally felt like, yeah, like, I am getting something back.
Yeah. And you got to tell her personally.
Yeah.
You got to tell her about it.
She was like, okay, well, you're moving back home. And I'm going to help you, and you're going to help me, and that's what we're going to do. It's like, okay, sounds like a deal.
Yeah.
So, I moved home, and she was still on her feet and could kind of make out some words, use her arms by the time Jagger was here.
Oh, good.
And so she helped me my whole pregnancy, and we just bonded so much. More than I could have even thought. We were so close already.
Yeah.
And when I had Jagger, she helped me so much. She would push him in her rocker. Like, she was starting, her legs are kind of starting to fail a little bit. And then she got COVID, and it kind of set us back a little bit, made her progress a little bit faster. And she was bedbound by the time she got home, and Jagger was around 9, 10, 11 months old, like in that, like, time frame. I think she got back right before he turned one. Oh, it was right after, actually, he turned one. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, just remembered. And my life made another really drastic turn because I had to be her main caregiver,
yeah,
which I was like, I'm ready. Like, I'm so ready for this because this is, like, this is when she needs me. She was just here for me, you know, and I'm going to do this for her.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough with Jagger's dad for him to, like, be able to, like, provide for us while, like, I took care of her. It just was set up in a way that, like, allowed me to really...
just focus on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had... every day was just something. I mean, it was a really hard and dark time for me because I had Jagger and I had to take care of my mom.
Yeah.
So I remember Jagger being in the high chair for, like, a couple hours at a time and me just like, here's some more snacks, here's this, you can't be around all the medication, like I was trying so hard to juggle both, and it was so hard.
And a new mom too, because, you know, I mean,
I didn't have
a being clue. A new mom, you're like, what am I doing here? You know,
and it was hard. I mean, she was fed through a tube, she had a ventilator when she came home from the hospital that, like, I'd have to, like, clean and tend to, medication, you know, around the clock. I was wiping everybody. It was just very hard. It was a really, like, hard. I just remember I would get home because at this point I had moved out. Like, it hadn't been very long that I had moved out. But I would get home when, and I would just be done. Like, I was like, I'm done for the day. Like, I don't want to do anything other than, like, sit in the shower and cry, because I didn't cry around her. Mm-hmm. And then go to bed and just wake up and just do it again.
Yeah.
And that's what I did for a long time. Mm-hmm. That's exactly, that was my day to day.
Yeah.
Is I woke up, got me and Jagger situated over to my mom's, and we stayed in that room every day, all day. And then I started college back up. And so I was doing homework in the room, taking care of her and taking care of Jagger, and we just made it work and we did the thing. And I wouldn't take it back for a moment because that was my mom.
Yeah.
But
she needed you.
It was a hard time. It was a really, really, like, just difficult time watching her just slowly die.
Yeah. That's got to be the absolute hardest of it all.
I remember her. I have so many good memories, too. Like, I didn't think that her and Jagger would be that close. Everyone loves my mom. Was, like, grandma to everybody.
Yeah.
And, like, every grandkid loved her, like, so much.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if they were going to have that same relationship. But she taught him how to say his name, and she couldn't even talk. Like, they had this bond because she would do it on her board. So she would write with her eyes, Jagger, and then it would speak out, and Jagger, Jagger. Uh-huh. He would go, Jagger, Jagger.
My
and I was like, Mom, you're amazing. Yeah. Like, I don't know how you do this. And so there are so many good memories that I have.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, she had said one time, like, Cammy, like, I'm done. Like, she had typed on her board, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm ready to go be with Jesus. I'm like, no.
Yeah, are you kidding me? That's not an option right now.
Keep you alive.
Yeah.
And I really did. Like, she would say, I wouldn't have made it this long without you. And I was like, well, you're going to watch Jagger graduate high school.
Yeah.
I was so, like, I really didn't think that I could keep her alive.
Yeah.
But she didn't want it anymore.
Yeah.
She was so suffering and, like, I mean, even our shower routine, like, I took showers with my mom all growing up, and I knew exactly how she liked her hair washed, exactly what body wash she liked, and I would do the whole thing, and I just was like, I'm just gonna take care of you like you're me, and we're just gonna do the thing, and I just thought that she would be fine with it, and I could just, you know, take her around in her wheelchair, but she didn't want to live like that.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget her telling me she wanted to do the assisted death with dignity, like the assisted, like, suicide. And I just was, like, so against it because I didn't want her to die.
Yeah, yeah.
But she couldn't do it because she couldn't mix the stuff herself. Her arms didn't work. Her hands didn't work. So if you can't mix it, you can't do it.
Okay, can you explain a little bit about that?
Death with dignity, it's like, it's legal in some states, it's illegal in others. I don't know too much about it, but I do know that it's assisted suicide for people with terminal illnesses.
Okay.
And you have to be able, I believe, this is the problem, you have to be able to administer it yourself.
Okay.
She would have qualified for it having ALS, but she couldn't give herself, mix it and do it herself. Uh-huh. So it's not, at that point, somebody else has to do it. And that's, you can't do that.
Okay. I have never even heard of that. I had no idea.
Yeah. I don't know exactly too much about it just because I was not wanting to hear it. I was like, this isn't happening.
Yeah.
And, she ended up not, so she couldn't do that. And then it was the one day that I had class one day a week for literally an hour and a half. And that's when she died. It's like, you couldn't wait.
Yeah, you couldn't wait till I got back from class.
I know, but I think she did it because she didn't want me to be there.
Yeah.
Now I don't even know if that is actually true, but it just was like out of all the time I was there all the time.
Yeah.
There was like never a time I wasn't there.
And she was always protecting you, just like you have little moments mm-hmm. where you were protecting her and crying in the shower so she didn't see you.
Yep.
And I'm sure she had those thoughts the same way. Like, I can finally, like, rest. I don't want Cameron to see mm-hmm. me like this, yeah. you know?
She had, it's funny because our communication became nonverbal. Uh-huh. It was on my part, but she could just look at me and I would be like, okay, you need this, you need mm-hmm. this, you need this. I just knew exactly. She, like, in a sense became, like, my child.
Yeah, yeah.
I was taking care of her as if she was my baby. Mm-hmm. And when she died, I felt, like, not comparing it to losing a child whatsoever, but I had lost this like big part of who, like,
yeah, you had
like
a big
I
purpose.
Was like,
yeah.
This is what I did. Yeah. This was it. Mm-hmm. And I had told her, because she would look at me too and be like, I knew she was saying like, I'm sorry. And like, I would remind her so many times, like, you gave me the best life ever.
Yeah.
I couldn't have asked for a greater childhood, a better mom.
Yeah.
And maybe I was, you know, born to give you, so you could, like she would always say, you're so important to me, I need you mm-hmm. to get through losing my mom, Amber.
Yeah.
Maybe I was born to do that, but also to, like, see you out too.
Yeah.
And take care of you.
Yeah. You guys were meant to lean on each other.
Yeah.
You know?
And we did. And she would, it just was really, I've never done a harder job and I'll never do a harder job, but it was the most like honored I've ever felt to be able to take care of somebody.
Yeah.
Especially her.
Yeah.
While she's dying.
Yeah.
It has changed me completely as a mm-hmm. person.
I was just going to say, I'm sure that all the series of events, like, it has kind of forced you to grow up, like,
yeah.
at such a young age. And to have to, like, do all of that is, like, people that have lived their whole life have not had to go through stuff like that. And to yeah. have to go through that so young and all the loss that you've gone through so young, it's like, I really do commend you. Like, you carry yourself so well and you're just like, you're such a strong person.
And it's thank you so much.
Yeah.
And it has like been my normal, which has also been so bad in the sense of like when I had Jagger, he's almost four, and I feel like I'm still in postpartum anxiety.
Yeah.
My body has to, like, force itself to sleep because I'm like, is he breathing? Is he breathing? Mm-hmm. And I remember having talks with his dad and just being like, why don't you understand that, like, something can happen to him?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, of course I understand that something can happen to him. And I was like, you don't think that he's going to die? And he's like, no, I don't think yeah. he's going to die. And I'm like, how?
Yeah.
And I just realized that I'm so used to it. It's mm-hmm. like normal.
Yeah.
It would be weird to me if nothing bad happened to him. Yeah,
if the trauma didn't come back, you know, if something else tragic, you know, and I totally get that because it's like, yeah, after you've lost so many close people to you, you're like, I mean, I won't be surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised at all of this now, you know, so it does give you so much anxiety, but we can't live like that either. You know what I mean? That's not a way to live. Like we said, like, we just, I don't even know what to say. You know, it's like we, as much as that anxiety is just going to be there, it's like we have to find a way around it because we got to be there and we got to be present there for our boys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you, did you ever go to counseling or anything?
No. Like, I have like been to the point now though, where I've like, I've said multiple times, like recently, like, I don't think I can do this alone anymore. After my mom passed away, my mom Janet passed away in October of 2023. And I just don't want to leave out my Grammy. My Grammy ended up passing away 6 months later in April of 2024.
And that's your dad's?
That's my dad's mom. And those, both of those women are so close to me and so close to my baby that it almost like, I always was looking at it like from a me standpoint. And then I looked at Jagger after my Grammy died and I was like, you're not even three. You just turned two and you have lost two people.
Yeah.
I don't want trauma and cycles like that to repeat itself.
Yeah.
I like can't have, it's not fair for him. No. I don't want that for him. And it's not their fault.
Yeah.
But like, there has been a lot of trickle down, right? Like, it started with my mom and then Holden grieving and not getting the help that he needed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe my dad playing a part of, you know, losing my mom too. And we just, there's so much that connects itself that I look at now and I'm like, I don't want my son to have any trauma. I want to get rid of, I want to work through and heal through this trauma. I want to be the healthiest version for myself and my son and my family and my friends. Like,
Yeah. And I feel like, I mean, I'll talk about counseling or whatever anytime because I really am such a firm believer that it just helps so much. And after this, I'm going to give you my therapist number because she's amazing. And like she's just very spiritual as well. So even when I went into one of my first appointments with her, it just all like the way that it worked was crazy because I had gotten her information from someone else. And then she happened to have a cancellation like the very next day. And I was like, I happen to like be free too. Cause like, I'm just busy too. Like I own a business and I'm a mom, you know? So I'm like, okay, this just happens to work out. Like now I feel like I'm like meant to be there. Like there's a reason why this door was opened for me to go. And I went and that's when we talked about, like, this was even before Kyle's funeral. So it was very, very early that I was talking to her and she's like, no, I like when I heard that we were going to talk and stuff, I was like, I normally don't see people like, especially like this early. Mm-hmm. I want to give you time to like process things yourself. And then we talk, you know, she's like, no, but I just had this like feeling too, like, oh no, like we need to talk. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to my appointment with her, she was like, I just felt this like presence, like, no, she needs to come in. She needs to come in. And then she's like, literally describing like Kyle's personality to me. It's like this annoying person in your ear, like, hey, 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 you know, like get her back here. Like for my next appointment. And she's like, this is going to be a free like next appointment because we didn't even finish our first appointment. And that was a 3-hour appointment. It was long. So I go back and that's when she's like, yeah, I just heard this. Like, it's like, I had this feeling of someone just like, hey, you need to talk to her again. And it was like almost like a visual for her of like putting her hand out like this, like he's like saying something about like helping people or whatever. I was like, well, you know, I talked about maybe like blogging or something. And she's like, no, like it's something different. Like, well, talked about like maybe a podcast. She's like, okay, I think that's what it is. And he doesn't care if you talk about it. And I was just like, whoa, you know, it was crazy. But like that, some of the things that she like described Kyle's personality and things that things that wouldn't be all over social media, because sometimes you're like, okay, they saw it online, you know, they know, but like, no, I can tell how genuine she is. And like, I just, that spiritual connection that she mm-hmm. has comforted me so, so much. And I just feel like with all of your like signs that you get yeah. and all that stuff, I feel like you would totally connect with her so well too, if you're looking for someone.
Yeah, no,
I would never want to be forceful, lovely. But yeah, it's no, like I do. Helped me through all of this grief that I've gone through. Cause I've even talked with her, you know, going way back to when my friend Ashley passed away. Right. And it's not just like, just with Kyle, you know, it's right. talks about all we talk about all the things. And, I always am like excited to go see her. And I feel like I always leave with like good advice and good, just like, I just feel good. You know yeah, what I mean?
No. And I think it's so important to like, I really have, like I said, like I've been like, don't think I can do this how I've been doing yeah. it at this point anymore. Mm-hmm. Not that I've been doing it wrong or bad or right. any way. I just like am kind of at this point where like I just can like admit that I like do need help.
Yeah.
Like this is all a little bit too much. I think yeah. the back to back at the end
yes.
and watching them too. Like I mm-hmm. had to sit there and watch them suffer
yeah.
for weeks. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Like not weeks, years,
yeah,
but like yeah. definitely towards the end, like I sat there and it just, yeah, it was hard.
Yeah.
And, I think that like, I never have even thought about me going to counseling because I just wasn't ever, I didn't have, like my mom didn't. And I, you know, yeah. we kind of just all stuck by each other and just did it.
Yeah.
But it gets to that point, and I feel like I would have had a better understanding growing up mm-hmm. if I would have had some help yeah. in that, yeah. in a different kind of way.
Right, yeah.
And especially, like, for my son, like, I want him to see all the ways that we can be healthy for ourselves and right. show up for ourselves and
right.
things like that. So, yeah, yeah no, I definitely...
And I mean, especially...
Would love for you to give me your
yes, yes, I will. Because I feel like going through constant battles and honestly being this person that you feel like you need to be the strong one. You need mm-hmm. to be there for, you know, your mom, Janet. And you need to yeah. be there for just like your family. And you didn't think about yourself as much, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Yeah,
you know? And you're like, I'm dealing with this and this and this. And yeah, my mental health is suffering, but I got this and I've got to do all of this. But when you finally sit back and, like, breathe a little bit, you're like, okay, I just dealt with all of this.
Yeah, I can't even – I look back and I yeah. literally can't even – I can't even, like, believe it.
Like, how did I deal with this? How did I do this?
No, and I, like – the thing is, too, and it's so, like, twisted in my head because, like, I remember them, like, wheeling my mom out of the room and just, like, looking at her. And I, like, went down to her face and I just told her I love you. And I just remember thinking, like, well, this is it.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be there for Jagger, but like, there's that.
Yeah.
It's just like horrible.
Yeah.
But that's not what I want. And like, also, she showed me, like, she lost two of her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she just always, I mean, just her laugh. Like, I can picture her laugh. And
yeah.
Her smile and just. Her eyes, like, light up. She still found so much joy in life
mm-hmm.
with her grandbabies, with
yeah.
all her other kids.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, I'm at now. Like, I want to be happy. Like,
yeah.
That's all I think I've ever really wanted is just to be happy.
Mm-hmm. And that's your inspiration right there.
Yeah.
Her losing two of her babies, mm-hmm. you know, two of her kids and still having this bright light and, like...
Yeah, like, I can do it.
Yeah, and like, keeping you, like... giving you a good childhood and yeah, it just like gives you that like hope, like, okay, I've gone through some shit, honestly. Mm-hmm. I've gone through a lot of stupid shit. But seeing my mom like this and how resilient she was, I know like that's gotta give you that motivation. I know yeah. I can do it. You know yeah. what I mean? You have no other choice now because you got yep. your little boy and like we said, like that's our motivation mm-hmm. to like keep going. I mean, what else, you know?
No, seriously.
We can't be like to like what all the what ifs because we could do that over and over and over, you know?
No, yeah.
All these what ifs like can literally like, what's the word? I don't know. Can stop you in your tracks, you know? It
yeah.
really can. This like fear of all the what ifs, but we're going to be strong. We're going to be there for our babies.
Yeah.
Well, I will give you that number for my counselor.
Yes, please.
But I guess before we end, is there any piece of advice that you would give anyone grieving, I guess?
Grieving and just in any state in their life where they feel like they're having a hard time is, if you're going through it, just keep going.
Yeah.
Because it nothing stays the same forever. Mm-hmm. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, it won't last.
Yeah.
So take good out of any situation that you're in, and with the bad, keep going.
Yeah.
Because it won't stay. And although time doesn't, you know, completely heal mm-hmm. everything, it does make it a little bit more bearable. Mm-hmm. And we can take things and lessons from what time gives us.
Yeah. And be appreciative, you know, yeah. and love your people
yeah.
while you can, you know. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and crying with me.
Yeah. No, of course. My gosh,
you really are, like, I'll say it again, you know, you really are such a strong person. You carry yourself so well. And I'm, like, not even knowing you, I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. No, I feel so grateful to be able to do this, because I feel like there's so much more than, like, what I can, you know, put on a little Instagram post
yeah.
or things about my dad's case. Like, there has been so much, and I wanted the opportunity to be able to share it, maybe for a little bit of, like, relief for me, but also mm-hmm. because I do think that we all deserve to find, you know, certain glimpses of relatability in
right.
other people and find happiness.
Yeah, yeah. And give other people hope that
yeah.
all the trauma and things that you go through, like, there are some good that
yes.
can come out of terrible things.
Well,
too.
they shape you into mm-hmm. you. They
yeah.
make up your story, and your story is beautiful no matter what.
Right.
No matter the twists and
yes,
turns it takes
exactly.
to get there.
It's still beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of Shattered Silence. As always, don't forget to follow us on all of our socials on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. You can also watch full episodes on YouTube, or you can listen in on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.